Scripture reading for this afternoon you can find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8, we'll read verses 1 through 18. It's the familiar parable of the sower. And it came to pass afterward that he, that is Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he bless that to our hearts. Together with my wife and family, we wish you the Lord's richest blessing for the new year. And so our text for this afternoon, we can find in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. At this time, we'll just read the last part of verse 8. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Congregation, this day marks the beginning of a new year, the year 2012. And maybe you've made resolutions for this new year. You've determined to do certain things, to meet certain goals. You may or may not keep these resolutions depending how faithful you are in sticking to them. Or maybe you have questions as you face a new year, an unknown future. How will I provide for my family in difficult economic times? How will the elections turn out this year? What course will our country take? Or as we look in the world around us, will the world continue through another year? As we see the unrest, as we see love growing cold. But have you ever asked this question in facing a new year? How will I hear the word of God? How will I hear the word of God? If the Lord wills and if he tarries, there will be 52 Sundays in this year with two sermons or three sermons on each Lord's Day. That's 104 sermons if we hear two sermons every Lord's Day. If there's a midweek service once a month, that brings the total to 116 messages in which we hear the Word of God. And fathers, if we're faithful in bringing the Word to our children, we will bring it to them 365 times or more per year. And our children and young people, they will hear the Word at catechism or confession of faith class 30 or more times a year. They will hear the Word of God numerous times at school or in the home. But the question is, how will we hear the Word of God? That's the theme we wish to consider this afternoon as we look ahead into the new year, as we hear the Word of God from week to week, from day to day. And we wish to consider that from the parable that Jesus told in Luke 8, verse 4 to 15, the parable of the sower. And so our theme is, how will we hear the Word of God? First of all, we want to see the Word of God sown. The Word of God sown. And secondly, the Word of God heard. The Word of God heard. So first of all, the Word of God sown. And in this parable, Jesus sets forth the nature of the kingdom of heaven, one aspect of the kingdom of heaven, and it's the gospel ministry. It's the ministry of Christ as he preached on earth, but also the ministry of Christ as he ministers from heaven through his servants and through us as his people. He shows how the Word of God is preached, how it's sown among all types of listeners, and the effects that that word has on those who hear. Jesus uses a simple farming picture to illustrate this grand and convicting truth of the ministry of Christ himself through the gospel. There's the sower who goes out to seed. That seed falls on different types of soil. Depending on the type of soil, the seed either takes root and bears fruit, or it ultimately dies. And so let's look first of all at the sower. Jesus is interpreting the parable in verses 11 to 15, but he doesn't identify, he doesn't explain who the sower in the parable is. But he himself is unmistakably the sower of the seed. We see also that the seed is the Word of God, so Jesus is the sower sowing the Word of God. That's clear from the context in Luke 8, verse 1. He's been sowing the Word, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Jesus was preaching and demonstrating the glad news of the kingdom. That's the preface to the parable, and so clearly Jesus is the sower. He's going forth to sow the seed. He's going to every city and village preaching and showing these glad tidings of the kingdom of God. He continues to sow the glad news as people gather around him to hear what he has to say in verses 4 and 5. When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. Christ is sowing the seed of the kingdom. Every time Christ preaches the word in his earthly ministry, the seed is sown. And we might say, well, what relevance does this parable have today if Christ is the sower? He no longer preaches, doesn't he? Well, the sower is pictured not only in Christ's ministry while he's on earth, but also in the ministry throughout the ages of the church that Christ administers from heaven as the ascended Lord and King of his church. If we look back at the Old Testament, the prophets, they sowed the word. In the New Testament, the apostles began to sow the word. The faithful men in the early church, they sowed the word. The faithful men in the Middle Ages, they sowed the word. The reformers, they sowed the word. The ministers on this pulpit, whenever they preach, they are sowing the word. They are commissioned by Christ, the great sower, to go and sow the word, and they speak with the authority of Christ. And so whenever the word is preached, the word is sown by Christ. And you say, well, why focus on the sower this afternoon? Well, the fact that Jesus speaks about the sower going out to sow seed shows us that the sower cannot be faulted in how we hear the word of God. The sower cannot be faulted for our reception of the word of God. Christ is the perfect sower. There is no fault in him. When he preached as no man before him or after him. And even when sinful human beings like myself preach to you, the reception of the word is not our doing. It's above us. The sowing of the word is Christ's. We are simply commissioned by him. And so when the word is preached, we ought to give heed. And so how did we come to church this afternoon? How are we listening? It's easy to come to church with a critical spirit. But the point of Jesus is clear. The sower is sowing the seed. He's an instrument in the hands of God. And that's what I am to you this afternoon. I am the sower. There will be other sowers that you hear throughout the next months. Even in this day, three different sowers. It's the mercy of God that he still sows the seed even in this new year. To begin the new year, Christ has already sown the seed in our midst. He continues to come himself through that word because he himself is the word, the living incarnate word. He offers himself as the savior of sinners. He is the beloved son, and so we ought to hear him. He continues to sow and he comes looking for fruit. But how will you hear the word of God this year? We can't fault the sower, but we can't fault the seed either. It might be difficult to imagine this picture that Jesus is portraying. We're used to tractors and large cedars planting seed in straight rows. But the picture in the scriptures gives us the idea of the sower with a huge sack of seed tied to him. And he reaches into this sack and he spreads the seed widely, evenly covering the ground. And that seed is good. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It's not the fault of the seed that it doesn't spring up to life. It depends where that seed falls. And that seed Jesus identifies as the Word of God in verse 11. The seed is perfect. It is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. It is God-breathed. That's what 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 tells us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed out by God. And if God is perfect, his word is also perfect. There's nothing wrong with the seed. 2 Peter 1, there's that same perfection of the word. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The seed of the word of God is pure and perfect. But the seed of the word of God is also powerful. It's potent. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick, it's living, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The word of God is powerful. But the seed of the word is also profitable, it's also fruitful. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16b, Paul continues by saying that the word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word of God will bear fruit when it falls in good soil. The word of God is also perpetual. It never dies. It doesn't perish. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And so we can never fault the Word of God for not having grasped the gospel. The seed is good. But as this parable makes clear, the issue is the soil or the ears that hear, the heart upon which the seed falls. Both the sower and the seed are vindicated. They can never be faulted for our lack of understanding, for our lack of faith, for our unbelief. Here we also see how merciful God is towards us in this new year. The seed is open. The seed is sown in such a way that Christ is revealed as the one who softens hearts and delivers us from the hardness, from the barren wilderness of sin where the seed is snatched away by the evil one, from the choking pleasures and cares of this world. Let us hear the word this afternoon, because hearing the word is hearing Christ himself. He is the sower and he is the seed. And so we can't fault the sower. Neither can we fault the seed. Maybe you say, well, the seed has never fallen on my heart. And so you fault the method, the sowing of the seed. We can't fault that either. That's not at issue for not seeing or hearing the gospel. The sowing is done as widely as possible. The sower sows the seed everywhere on the hard path, on the rocky soil, on the soil containing seeds of thorns and thistles. And he also sows on good soil. He sows indiscriminately. That's consistent with what Jesus is doing before telling this parable. Look with me at verses 1 to 3. He calls 12 very different disciples to follow him. He's there with the 12. The different soils are even revealed amongst the disciples. 11 are good soil hearers. They're receptive, responsive to the word. But among the 12, there is one whose hearing is choked out by the pleasures of this world, and that's Judas. The pursuit of money, the love of money, chokes out the seed and ultimately shows itself to be deadly. But Jesus sows widely. There are 3 women there who ministered to him. Mary was a former prostitute. Definitely not a woman, according to Jewish standards, who should receive the gospel. Joanna, connected to Herod's court, to a Gentile court. Also not a woman who by Jewish standards should receive the gospel. And there was Susanna, of whom we know very little. And here we see the sinful, the obscure, the Gentiles, the tax collectors, the rough fishermen, the sons of thunder. They were the recipients of the seed in good soil. Jesus has sown far and wide, even on rocky soil, even among those in whom the seed is choked. He preaches in every town and every village, sowing the word. He speaks this parable to a large crowd gathered before him, mixed listeners. You get the picture, don't you? The seed is sown very widely. And as we reflect on 2011, we know that the seed has been sown widely. The word is preached to all who hear it. It is freely offered to all without discrimination, and this is what Jesus himself commands in Matthew 28, verse 19, to publish this word to all nations. It's to be preached to every language, tribe, and nation promiscuously and without distinction, as the canons of Dort state in Head 2, Article 5. Jesus, the sower, continues to sow widely through his ministers and through his missionaries and through us as his people. The word is sown widely and in diverse ways. It's sown through sermons, through meditations, through family worship, through catechism class, even through the testimony of godly people that intersect with our lives. They're epistles of Christ. And thanks be to God that Christ is not finished sowing. We have testimony of that already in this day. This is the second sermon that we hear. The second sowing of the word, as it were. He sows indiscriminately. And so we ought to hear him when he calls, when he sows. We ought to respond in faith. He is the sower and the seed, and he is able and willing to bring forth this life and fruitfulness because he himself is the seed. He offered himself as the seed to die. That's what we read of in John 12, verse 24. He said, except the seed die, there can be no fruit. And he arose to give dead sinners life and fruitfulness. The sower can't be faulted. The seed can't be faulted, and neither can the sowing be faulted if we've not heard the word with profit. The problem lies with the soil upon which the seed falls. In other words, you and I are responsible for the reception of the word of God whenever we hear it. How will we hear the word of God in this year? Let us heed Christ's words, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And that brings us to our second thought. This afternoon, the word of God heard. And the question comes, how will we hear the word of God? Or maybe we can rephrase it. Will you even hear the word of God in this year? When Jesus was speaking this parable, that day there were those who understood the parable. To those whom the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven were revealed. That's what he speaks about in verse 10. He says, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. There were those who received the word. But there were those to whom Jesus spoke that day who saw the things he did but did not perceive. They heard the things he said but didn't understand. Jesus speaks about them also, and he says, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. That was one of the functions of these parables, is to veil the truth, to make it deceptively simple, so that they would stumble over it. And so Jesus illustrates this sobering truth by picturing four types of hearers, or four types of hearts upon which he sows the word. But only one is the right way. Only one is the right heart upon which the seed falls. First of all, there's the careless listener. It's pictured for us in the seed falling by the wayside. Imagine a field in Israel. There's a pathway that crosses the field, and the farmer throws seed on it. As he's walking through the field, seed falls on that pathway, and the birds of the air come, and they have a feast. They carry away the seed. They feed their young ones. They feed themselves. But Jesus also tells us that the seed is trodden underfoot in verse 5. And here we have a picture of the careless hearer. That's how Jesus interprets his parable in verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The seed lands, but it's taken away. Does that describe you this afternoon? Do we hear the word carelessly, perhaps, giving the devil opportunity to slip in and steal the word from us so that we will not be saved and believe? That's what he loves to do. He expends all his energy to prevent the word from landing on our hearts, from taking root. But we can't blame him either when we listen carelessly. And another device of Satan is, as he makes us careless, he also makes us contemptuous of the word. He leads us to tread the word of God underfoot. It's not a lot enough for him that we listen carelessly, but he wants us to listen with contempt. To tread the word of God underfoot. Are you perhaps hearing the word of God carelessly? And if not, are you perhaps an impulsive listener? It's the second type of hearer that is pictured in the seed falling upon the rock in verse 6. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. An inch, maybe 2 inches of dirt, but underneath is rock. The seed falls there, begins to grow. But there's no moisture to sustain that tender plant, and it withers away. Jesus interprets this type of soil in verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. There are those who can say that the word has sprung up in them. They're not quite like those who are careless and show contempt for the word of God. There's some impression of the word, but it's pretty short-lived. There is joy, there is faith, but it's temporary. There's no root to feed the seed in it, and it dies away. There's no moisture to feed the plant. It dies away under the hot sun, it just shrivels. And Jesus says that's how temporary faith works. It shrivels under the heat of temptation. Maybe you content yourself this afternoon by saying that you're not the careless listener. But with skillful strokes of his knife, Christ cuts open our hearts, shows that there are those among us, among whom the seed may even spring up. The word is received with joy, but then temptations come, trials come. The effects of the word wither and die because there was no real life there in the first place. And ultimately, there's a falling away from God. The word was perhaps heard impulsively. We've seen our friends believing on the word of God, and so we follow suit without thinking, without realizing. And so the word falls upon the rocky soil, upon the impulsive listener. How many times have we heard the word, perhaps with joy, but then a day or a few hours later, we're as cold and stony as we were before. Is this how we will hear the word of God this year? But then there's a third type of listener, the preoccupied listener. Maybe we begin to breathe a little bit easier. Say, well, I'm not careless. I'm not impulsive. But perhaps, are you preoccupied? Imagine the farmer going out to sow his seed. He's sowing everywhere. Some seed falls with and mixed with the seeds of thorns and thistles. Both plants come up. But as time progresses, the thorns and thistles begin to overtake the wheat. They wrap their stems around the wheat and thorns, and they begin to penetrate the tender young plant, strangling the life that was in the plant. That's the third type of hearer that Jesus highlights in this parable. Verse 14, he interprets what he means. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. The third listener hears the word and goes forth. There's life there at first, seemingly. But that's not sufficient because the heart is still faulty. It's still vulnerable to the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. How they must describe so many people who hear the word today. But in a materialistic culture, the word is choked out as riches are pursued. The pleasures of this life are pursued. And there's no fruit in their lives. It's choked out. There's only bare stalks that speak of Christianity that was perhaps once there, but now lacks the power, the lasting power and fruit of the Word of God. Not because of the Word of God, but because of the hearts upon which it has fallen. How convicting this third type of listener is, isn't it? Maybe we've excused ourselves. I'm not careless and I'm not impulsive. But this is a little more difficult because who isn't loaded with the cares of this life? Who isn't tempted by the riches and pleasures of this life? Who can confess that we're not taken up by the cares of this world? If we're parents, we have cares for our children. How are we going to provide for them? How are they going to turn out? You see, we can lose focus of hearing the word of God with profit. What about my job? Will I be able to keep it this coming year? As seniors, there are cares that we face. Our bodies begin breaking down. Our minds begin to slip. Can choke out the hearing of the word. As young people, there's especially the attraction of worldly pleasures that can choke out the word. But how will we hear the word of God in this new year? Can we hear it at all with profit? Well, there's really only one way to hear the word of God: with a good and honest heart. Will we be a responsive listener? We need to hear the Word of God with a prepared heart, a heart made alive by the Spirit of God. That's the fourth category of listener that Jesus sets forth. In verse 8 he says, "Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold." In Mark 4, verse 8, Mark includes the numbering in this way, some 30, some 60, and some a hundredfold. There was fruit in those who really heard the Word of God and kept it. And that's how Jesus interprets this part of the parable in verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." There's only one way to hear the word of God. The seed must fall upon good soil in order to bear fruit. But how do we know that the seed has fallen on our hearts? How do we know that our hearts are good soil? Because we see so much of the first three categories of listeners in our hearts. First of all, the word takes root in an honest and good heart. And that's a heart that's been changed by Christ himself. A heart that is infallibly born again by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a heart that confesses hardness and coldness. It's a heart that confesses the attraction of riches and pleasure. It's a heart that is open and honest before God, confessing that our hearts are loaded with the cares of this world. It's a heart that confesses that we need to be softened, that we need to be changed, that we need the right hearing of the Word of God. And such a heart will not end in hardness. It will not end in being impulsive. It will not end in being choked out by the riches and pleasures, being preoccupied. But such a heart will continue to seek Christ in the Word for cleansing, for holiness, for right hearing of the Word of God. Such a heart is honest and good because it finds that honesty and that goodness in the heart of Christ himself. And that's how Christ presents himself this afternoon in this parable. His heart was always good and always honest before God, his Father, always sought to do the will of his heavenly Father. And in him, we can find the same. And only then will the word be fruitful. Secondly, we can know that we have the word of God bringing forth fruit in our lives because Jesus says that those who hear the word will keep it. That means that we cling to the word of God. The responsive listener listens and clings to the living written word, the scriptures. It's our daily meat, but also to the living incarnate word, Christ himself. He is the everlasting word. He is the word of life. Yes, there might be temptations, there might be hardness and coldness and cares of this world, there might be tendencies in our lives to pursue the pleasures and profit of this world, but the responsive listener will keep the word, clinging to it in the midst of all these things. Just read Psalm 119, the experiential life of a responsive listener. Despite sin in their lives, they continue to cling, to turn to the commandments of God, to the law of God. Clinging to the Word in every aspect of our lives, is that how we are listening to the Word of God? The Word behind us, the Word before us, the Word beside us. We cling to the Word because it's our life. That's how we know whether our hearts are good soil, whether we are hearing the Word of God with profit. And thirdly, there will be fruit in our lives. Notice that's the characteristic that sets apart the responsive listener from all the other three. Even the preoccupied listener was close to bearing fruit. Maybe there was the beginning of fruit, but it shriveled up. But the responsive listener, there's fruit. The fruits of the Spirit will be evident. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Are these things present in your life? Has the Word of God borne the fruit of the Spirit? The Beatitudes, are they showing themselves in our lives? Are we meek? Are we of a humble spirit? Are we peacemakers? Are we meek? It doesn't mean we have these fruits in perfection or in fullness. No, Mark makes clear there's some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. There are varying degrees of fruitfulness. But Jesus' point is clear. There will be fruit in our lives, which the canons of Dort call the infallible fruits of election. We look back on our lives. We see how the Lord has worked. We see the fruits taking shape, some small, some large, but there's fruit nevertheless. Fruit that we could never have produced on our own, but fruit that comes from hearing the Word of God with profit. Listening mixed with faith, listening mixed with prayer. How will you hear the Word of God in this year? Verse 18, Jesus counsels us this afternoon, take heed therefore how ye hear. We're called to examine ourselves this afternoon as the new year stretches out ahead of us. How will we hear the Word of God? Take stock of your lives, beloved. Which category of listener do you find yourself in? Maybe all four. And if we're honest with ourselves, we will confess that. But is your heart honest and good before God? Have you kept and are you resolved to cling to the Word of God for life, for sanctification? Are you bearing fruit with patience, with endurance, despite the opposition, despite the headwinds? Just driving here to church, I could feel the winds tugging at the van as I was driving. You see, that's the sins, that's the pleasures of this world that seek to take us off the road of holiness, to stop us from hearing the Word of God. But are we clinging to Christ? And if we're honest with ourselves, we must confess that our hearts are too much like the first three categories, hard and careless and choked by the cares and pleasures of the world. Christ calls us this afternoon to repent of our sins, of listening to the Word carelessly and perhaps even with contempt, because that is a way that surely ends in death. He calls us to repent of our hard and hardened hearts, because that too ends in barrenness and infertility and ultimately death. He calls us to repent of focusing on this life, because that too ends in falling away and ultimately death. There's so much of the old man that remains with us. Even though we might be hearing the Word as good soil listeners, but we're called to hear the Word of God mixed with faith, mixed with prayer, that God would penetrate our hearts with the Word. He's sown the Word this morning already. He's sowing it again this afternoon. Christ comes bearing precious seed, the seed of the Word, which reveals Himself to be the Savior. He is the one in whom our hearts can be continually changed and cleansed to reflect His own heart as He received the Word of His Father. He takes the Word and He brings life. He waters the seed by the rain of His Spirit so that fruit will be brought forth. Have you been listening wrongly all this time? Are you one of the three first categories of listeners? Christ comes again and He bids you to cling to Him and to His Word of life. Not to let Satan pluck away the Word. Not to let the Word be choked out. Not to let the Word be shriveled up. Have we found elements of all these types of listeners in our hearts this afternoon? Christ bids us cling to Him again as we seek to be sanctified by His Word. The question comes to you again. How will you hear the word of God in this year? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.